everybody out this evening. Always a great privilege to be able to come out and study God's Word, to come out and to worship with one another, to be had the opportunity to do so and help encourage one another to continue to fight the good fight, encouraging one another to, as Hebrews bring out, we come together to stir up love and good works, and it's wonderful to be able to do that at the beginning of each week as we set out to go out and continue to shine our lights and just to once again uplift our spirits to get a recharge as the week begins so that we're ready to go into the world and continue to fight that good fight, continue to shine our light as we need to. And one of the reasons we need to continue to have that recharge, continue to be able to continue to fight the good fight is because there is a spiritual war going on. In Ephesians chapter 6, we see there, it tells us to put on the armor of God, starting there in verse 10, where it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, and in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that he be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts and wickedness in the heavenly places." Then it goes forth and lifts down the armor of God that we need to put on. But to understand that we are in a spiritual war, that we are soldiers of cross, as the young kid's story our song goes, is we are in the Lord's army. We are soldiers of Christ. Therefore, we need to put on the armor of God. We need to be ready because we do have a spiritual battle, and that battle is with Satan. That's going to be the lesson tonight, is talk about Satan a little bit and to understand him a little more, and simply just a heed of warning, more to the point, is making sure we are prepared each and every day for the spiritual battle that we continuously face each day. So the first point I want to bring out is that you do need to take Satan serious. And we need to understand that we need to take him serious. We need to be ready for that spiritual battle. Now, we don't physically ever see Satan come forth and physically him being the one that's tempting us, as you might read Revelation 2 and verse 10, where it says, "Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison." That's not physically going to happen, literally going to happen. But spiritually, he is always at us. He's always striving to do something to draw us back into sin or to keep us from ever obeying the gospel. So therefore, we need to take him serious. We need to understand who Satan is. In 1 Peter chapter 5, turn along with me there. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Once again, here it describes Satan as a roaring lion. Roaring lion. Now, if we were in the wild, in a lion's territory, who wouldn't be keeping their eye out? Who wouldn't be watching for something to come out and to devour you? And who wouldn't be looking for safety? Who wouldn't be looking for a refuge to get behind the walls of protection? Here, Satan travels amongst the world. And he's seeking whom he may devour, looking for what temptation will pull you into sin, what temptation he can use against you to pull you in and away from God. That's who Satan is. I don't think any of us are going to go one-on-one with a lion with nothing with us on our side, nothing to aid us in protecting us. Understand, I think it'd be cool to hunt one down from a far off distance with a good rifle. I'm not going to go up against it without that. And the same thing here with Satan. If we're not prepared, if we don't have God on our side, we don't stand a chance. We need our Lord and Savior, and we need to be ready to face Satan. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, You read along with me, starting there in verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4, starting in verse 3, says, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on." It says, it's referring to Satan there when it says the God of this age. You know, that's what he's referred to. Once again, you look at the different titles that is given to him. And what he's referred to, he's referred to as the God of this age, the God of this world, the one that so many are worshiping without notice. Because they give themselves over to sin. Because when we choose to obey these sins, that's who we choose to be our master. And so therefore, as he's blinded so many people, causing them to stray away because they can't see straight, we need to be prepared for that. We need to make sure that we are seeing clearly, that we are reading the scriptures, that we are studying to make sure that the truth is being taught, to make sure that we are following God's command. We need to beware of Satan. We need to be aware of him. In John chapter 8, read along with me here, and in verse 44, it says, "You are the father of the devil. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Can you look at who Satan is? Here it brings out, you know, when we are committing sin, when we give ourselves over to temptation, once again, we are giving ourselves over to Satan. We are giving ourselves over to his temptation. And here it says, "You are of your father." I don't know if there are many people in the world today that would raise their hand and say, "I want to be a child of Satan. I want to be a child of the devil." And here it's saying, when we do these things, we are, because he is the father of liars. He is the father of murderers. The father of sin. He is the tempter. He's the one that started it for mankind in Genesis 3 when the serpent had tempted Eve. In Revelation, it refers to the serpent, and it says the serpent is the old great serpent is the devil, the Satan. But understand, once again, why we need to be concerned and be on guard at all times, because Satan's been doing it since then. In Genesis chapter 3, when he had tempted Eve, when he had tempted Adam, and continuing throughout time, he's had the entire time of practice, of gaining his skill, of deceiving mankind, of looking at every angle of opportunity to draw men away from God. He's been successful. We have a short life, as we talked about this morning. We have a short time upon this earth, and Satan has been tempting people since the beginning of time. We need to be ready. We need to be ready to face Satan. He had enough courage to even try to tempt our Lord and Savior. He wasn't successful against Jesus. So we read there in Matthew chapter 4, as he drew him out into the wilderness after he had fasted for 40 days, and as time goes by, he tried tempting them three times right then and there. But he even tried to tempt our Lord. He's most definitely going to be striving and continuously striving to pull each and every one of us into his temptation. We need to be ready. We need to understand that he is out there doing his best to pull you, you individually. It's the same point as we talk about our Lord and Savior And referring to 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, that he desires all to come to repentance. Or we use the example of the 99 sheep and the shepherd leaving the 99 to go and save the one lost. Satan's doing everything he can to pull you out. You individually. He wants to bring every person he can against God. To bring them all down to receive the punishment that he has set up in store for himself and wants everybody else to be punished. To go against the commands of God. We have to be ready. We need to be prepared for that. We need to understand that Satan is a persuasive tempter. We need to understand that he's once again been at practice all this time, and he knows how to go about it. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, you read along starting in verse 1. It says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, committing to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth." And here it says, it tells us, by deceiving spirits, by deceiving doctrines, by false teachers that were in the world then and are still in the world today. Satan has so many different teachings, so many different doctrines out there, and he's continuously trying to pull each and every one of us away. He looks at our desires and sees if he can maneuver us with our own desires. That's why you go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And it tells us of those who fall away there. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. It says, "For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but according to their own desires." Because this is something we do desire. But maybe you're not willing to give into it because you've heard that it is wrong. Because you've been taught that it's something that is a sin. You may be ready. But then you seek others will say it's okay, and you can find those teachers that Satan has set them out there. He found others who are willing to accept it also. And that's what it says here. It says they endure sound doctrine but according to their own desires because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers and they will turn ears away from the truth and turn aside of things. That there is making it easier for Satan when you seek out someone who will say that it's okay to continue. It's okay to be a drunk. It's okay to live in a sexual immoral life. It's okay to not consider one another. Satan is continuously doing all that he can. In Romans chapter 16, you read along with me in verse 17. Romans 16, starting in verse 17. Here it says, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause division, offense, contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and avoid them, for those who are such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ." So again, it says if we are causing division, if we are causing others to stumble, if we are doing things contrary to the Word of God, we are not of the Lord. We are not speaking the truth. Verse 18 says, "For those who are such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the sinner." They use those smooth words, flattery words. Some of them will use the college education they have and use bigger words to make it sound good, make it sound right, make it sound like, how can it be wrong? Don't forget, they're going to use Scripture just like we do. Just as Satan tempted Jesus there in Matthew chapter 4. But they're going to corrupt it. They're going to change the meaning behind what God had set forth. Continuously striving to pull us away. Tempting all that they desire. All that they desire. The temptations are simple though. Understand that the temptations all come under these three points here in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and reading starting in verse 15. It says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world." or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is done in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Here's where all the temptations and desires lie under. Lies under the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, the lust of the world. Getting caught up in these worldly possessions. Getting caught up in our own pride and our own desires, our own wants, all about me, myself, and I. Getting caught up in lusting after what other people have seen, the worldly possessions, coveting after the material things, lusting after the flesh, lusting, coveting, jealousness. Also, the way and Satan uses it in every possible way that he can. Once again, you think about all who Satan has tempted. Even going throughout the Word of God and reading there in Hebrews about the men of faith, but the men of faith have all stumbled at one point or another. Now, they repented and they overcome. They remain faithful from all we can read. We see temptation that Satan had used to cause these men of faith, men that God speaks so well of. We know that he was able to tempt them at one point. We talk about Noah after getting out of the ark and getting drunk, allowing opportunity of his son to sin against him. We talk about Abraham and Sarah. Now, the temptation not to wait for God to fulfill the promise, but try to do it our own way. Remembering that it's not in men to direct his own steps. We have to be patient and wait for God to fulfill his promises. We talk about David. He was a man of faith, but yet he had committed adultery, committed murder. We talk about Moses, who had done such a great job in leading the children of Israel, but he stumbled at one point and he struck the rock where he was supposed to speak to him. These are men who have witnessed the miracles of God, men who spoke, whether through prophecies, whether through dreams, whether by the prophet, and they witnessed certain things in speaking to the Lord. Yet there's times they stumbled. If they can stumble, we can also stumble. And of course, we need to remember that we all have stumbled. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Satan is doing all he can to pull us away. We always have to remember, just because Satan is so old and so wise and his temptations, we always need to remember that we can overcome these. There is always an opportunity not to give in to the temptation. Once again, not to get too prideful, not to get too arrogant and making yourself look better than we are. But remembering that if we put our faith in God, if we truly go to Him, we can overcome these temptations. Because we have an example that we can follow. In 1 Peter 2:21. It says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth." Here it brings out the point that there is an example that we can look to. We go and read throughout the Gospels, read about our Lord and Savior, and see how he lived his life, see what he had done, and apply it to our life. Following in his footsteps so that we can overcome temptation, so that we can resist the devil, so that we can remain faithful and have a home in heaven. We have an example. Now, understand, God is always going to be there for us, always ready to help us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear." God will not allow you to bear more than you can. It will not allow Satan to do any more than you can handle. Understand, look at your life right now. Look at the times that you have struggled in your faith and think about it. You may say, man, I've had some pretty hard times where I was truly doubting, where I was truly lacking the faith, or I was completely giving myself over to the Lord. God believed that you could overcome those things. God knew what you could handle. If times are hard now, remember that God says you can overcome. You can come out on the other side. And He has prepared an escape for you. He has prepared a way for you to get out of this temptation and to remain faithful to Him. All you got to do is seek Him. All you got to do is seek Him and go to God in prayer and ask for His help. Look to our Lord and Savior. Find His example and follow His footsteps. All we got to do is draw closer to God. Continue to draw near to the Lord. In James chapter 4. In James chapter 4. There in verse 7. It says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. It says if we submit to God, Satan will flee. Satan cannot overpower our Father. He may be a mighty being. He may be strong and the wiles of the devil, as we read out throughout Ephesians 6. But he is not greater than our God. He is not greater than our Lord and Savior, who gave Himself for us, who He could not tempt enough to cause the fall of sin. So therefore, if we look to Christ, and we draw near to our Father, and we seek the truth, we seek righteousness, we can come out on the other side, faithful to our Lord and Savior, ready to receive that crown. So we want to extend the Lord's invitation this evening to any who desire to obey the gospel, to be baptized in Christ, to make that confession that they want to be a child of God, that they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be on His side. Be a soldier of Christ. And no longer a servant of sin, a servant of the devil. If you're here, if there's anything we can do for you, we'll let it be known.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow.
Son's body that was broken on the cross for remission of our sins. We ask this time to do one. Lord, heaven, we again come for you. Thank you for this cup, which represents your son's blood that was shed on the cross. We ask that this time, the one begging to do so, no matter what place you cross in the world. Second part of the Lord's Supper, we have an opportunity to let our story bring you to which we feel the same.
Song this evening.